We're back on Downtown. It's 435. Rich Kimble, Kerry Haskell here. The announcement made earlier this week, Double Dare Live coming to the Cross Insurance Center in Bangor. And we had to hold on to the interview for a couple of weeks, but we had a great time recently visiting with Mark Summers and a friend in studio to talk about this terrific show coming to town. A wonderful show for the whole family is making its way here in December, Double Dare Live. And to talk about it, we have Danny Cashman here.
Why? I have no need to be here. I don't understand.
As well as his friend and associate, Mark Summers. Mark, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for asking me. You know, none of this would have happened without Dan Cashman. He's the glue in Maine for whatever I do here. I'm the only human in the world who comes here often from California. I mean, I couldn't come from a further spot, but I'm here all the time because of this man, actually.
Yeah, how did that happen? How did you guys form this relationship?
Dan, you tell the story.
I stalked Mark Summers.
That's exactly right.
Beginning and the end of the story right there.
How old were you when you first contacted me?
I contacted you when we were doing the second version of the night show, so that would have been, I was 23.
So was the internet around then? I forget.
It was sort of around. Yeah, I think that's how I found you. I think it was because the internet started and I said, hey, Google Mark Summers. And there you were.
And there I was. And you contacted me. And I think I called you, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. And we got together in Boston. And we had a drink and we talked about game shows and the night show and your career. And it was wonderful. My wife and I, and it was such a nice conversation. And then I hope we've been friends ever since.
How old are you now?
I am now 41.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Almost half a lifetime ago.
Wow. You know, so I find it interesting because you can get in touch with almost anybody because of the lovely WWW World Wide Web thing. And because of the direct message, instant message, Facebook, you name it, Twitter, people find me. And certain people sort of, you know, tweak your interest. And there was just something about, you know, this young broadcaster who wanted to talk showbiz. And I always want to talk showbiz. And it was just delightful. And here we are. It's going to be almost 20 years, man.
Yeah, almost 20
years.
That's
cool.
Well, that's one example. Are you surprised to find out that this show meant so much to so many people?
I didn't realize it until the last few years. We started the show October 6, 1986, in Philadelphia. Of course, went worldwide after that and across the country anyway. And I was just a guy who was 34 years old and trying to get a job. So we were out there playing game shows, but I didn't know the impact it had on a particular generation. And when it got brought back last year and we toured it, my head exploded because everybody had a story, a memory, a birthday party, something that this show touched in their life. And it's kind of touching to me because we do these meet and greets and I just didn't get it. And now I've actually at 67 and a half, I finally do.
Well, and now a whole new generation gets to see the show. My son and I enjoyed it during SpongeBob Week. The second season of the reboot. How was that?
That was cool. Yeah, we did 40 season one, and then we did a bunch of specials. We did a WWE week. We did a SpongeBob week. Coming up soon is a Halloween week, and then we did a Christmas week as well. But the cool part is we are coming here to Bangor, Maine, and because my phone is so slow and it's not working, I'm going to actually pull. Here we go. December 8th, 3 o'clock, Cross Insurance Center, and you can buy tickets and be there. We do a lot of audience participation where the first half, because this generation who grew up with it really wants to play more than the generation that's even watching it now, we have adults against the kids the whole first half, where we do physical challenges. And we bring up the adults and we bring up the kids and we do them. And often in some cities, the kids win everything, but in other cities, the adults win everything. And sometimes it's sort of split down the middle. But it's so much fun. And then there was another show I did called What Would You Do? Where we played a little thing called Musical Pies. And for some reason, this part of the show just makes everybody giddy. And we bring 8 or 10 people up and we play Musical Pies. And then we pick 4 families out of the audience. We select 2 to play. We actually play Double Dare. We do an obstacle course where we give away, if you get all 8 obstacles in 60 seconds or less, you win $1,000 right there. And so there are not many shows where moms and dads and kids can play together. And that's why I'm so thrilled to be doing this.
You had a great mentor, too. What did you learn from Soupy Sales?
Soupy was the guy that I grew up watching. My mom was from Toledo, Ohio, and Soupy was doing a show in Detroit. So I'd get up every morning and have breakfast with Soupy. And then he did Lunch with Soupy. And then in 1976, I became a regular at the Comedy Store. Most people don't know that my career started doing stand-up comedy. And I started with Dave Letterman and Robin Williams and Jay Leno and Gary Shandling. We all started together. And Soupy was playing the main room. And I went back there and knocked on the door, shaking in my, you know, boots because there was no World Wide Web. And I just figured I'll try it. And we became very good friends. What he didn't know was when I was going to school in Boston back in 71, 72, I lied to him and told him that I was doing a documentary on what makes people laugh. And I got him in the Sheraton hotel room for about 3 hours, and I still have that recording. And I handed him a DVD of that, you know, recording that we did back in the day. And then we became fast friends, and I was at his house, and we would go to lunch at the Friars Club. And I was always pinching myself saying, I can't believe I'm sitting here. The guy that I looked up to is now my friend.
You also, you mentioned the stand-up career. You were also, and still are, a magician as well.
Yeah, you know, magic kind of got me from point A to point B. I put myself through college doing magic. Then I became a regular at the Magic Castle when I first moved out there. And there's so many people in the industry, from Johnny Carson to Steve Martin and many in between, who started their careers as a magician. And when you're growing up in Indiana, show business is so far away. I figured, well, heck, if Johnny did magic, if I did magic, maybe I could get into show business too. And that's what it worked out to be.
Now, we've got a friend from around here who used to perform at the Magic
Really?
Castle. Dean Stern. I don't know if you know Dean.
Don't know the name, but yeah. That's pretty cool.
And we've had Jeff Altman on the show a bunch of times.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Jeff is a brilliant magician.
Yes.
He does great close-up. His card stuff is great. And yeah, he was at the store the same time. I haven't seen him in a while. I used to produce a show called Ultimate Revenge. Ryan Seacrest was my host. You may have heard of him. And and we used to have Jeff on do bits with people. He's one of the funniest guys out there.
Mark Summers in studio with us, along with Danny Cashman. Double Dare Live coming to the Cross Center on December 8th. Then there's that whole other career of yours, and one of my all-time favorite shows on Food Network is Unwrapped.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of that show.
One of the longest-running shows on the channel, and I backed into that in a weird way. I was actually trying to produce a show for a chef, and the executive who was in the room kept saying, well, why don't you do something for us? And I thought, well, I'm not a chef, and I barely cook. What would I possibly do? And the first show we did was called It's a Surprise. It was surprise parties that we threw. The big surprise, nobody was watching. And and so that got canceled. And then they threw this Unwrapped thing at me, and I said, sure, let's do it. I said, at the time, Biography was the number one show on A&E, if you remember. And I said, I think Unwrapped can be for Food Network what Biography is for A&E, and that's what it became for many years. Emeril and I used to go back and forth as to who was number one that week. And you know, so that turned into something crazy. And now, you know, I produced a bunch of stuff for Food, Dinner Impossible, Restaurant Impossible. And I have a new series that's coming out in November on Discovery called The Last Unknown with my partner Ian Shive. We're going to islands that the United States owns out in the Pacific that nobody's allowed to go to. There are no humans there. It's birds and other animals and plants and and we're sort of showing nature crossing with history, and that begins the end of November. So my career has been sort of a checkerboard of really, you know, nothing matches, but it all seems to work.
Well, I'm a history teacher in my day job, so I loved History IQ.
Oh, my. You actually know that show.
Yes.
You're the one who watched that, huh? It was supposed to be the hardest game show in the history of TV, and it was so hard nobody could answer any questions. But we did two seasons of that somehow, and, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And you never know who's watching along the way. It can be little kids. It could be Lin-Manuel Miranda. It could be the First Lady of the United States.
It's so weird. I was at Hamilton, and a few minutes before the show, somebody tapped me on the back and said, Lin-Manuel Miranda, heard you were in the theater tonight. Would you mind meeting him after the show? Would I mind meeting him? Are you kidding me? And all I wanted to do was talk about, you know, the show, Hamilton, and all he wanted to do was talk about Unwrapped. It was pretty funny. But that was a lovely moment. And you never know, you know, Neil Patrick Harris and people who, you know, were weaned, a la Mr. Cashman here, on the silly shows that I did. And, you know, the influence that you have on people, you know, Dan's big influence, I think, would be David Letterman. And if you watch his show, and I'm sure people do, because you've been doing it how many years now?
9 years, most recently.
Yeah. And, you know, if you watch Johnny Carson, you know, he had bits of Jonathan Winters and bits of Jack Benny in him. And a lot of people influenced me. And other than Dave, who else would be
Well, you and Johnny Carson. They were the big three. They were the three girls. Do I say they? What's proper English here? They,
I don't know. Don't ask the history teacher. The games are guy.
Get us an English teacher in here.
Them people. That's them what people. I mean.
Y'all. You and Johnny Carson and David Letterman were the three that I grew up watching. And at some point in that triangle of viewership, I said, I want to do something on television when I grow up. And it was really in that 86 to 89 time frame that I discovered all three of those shows, and it just sort of consumed my life to be able to try and do something in broadcasting or television.
And I've seen this show grow because the first time I came here to do it, we were in the back of a bookstore or something.
It was an antique shop.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And, you know, and the last two times I did, you know, here you are in this great facility that looks like a Letterman studio practically, and you got the band is amazing and your sidekick is good. And we actually tried to syndicate this thing. I still think Dan is an amazing talent, and I really thought that this is cool and, you know, sort of quirky. But nobody got it, you know.
We get it.
Yeah, and I get it too. I just don't understand why people don't understand that. How does this guy produce a quality TV show in Bangor, Maine, getting these people, you know, to come on? But you know, you're relentless, which is what makes it work. You find people and you get them to do. Well, who was the coolest guest that you got? I mean, you got Kermit the Frog, didn't you?
No, we had the Count from Sesame Street.
The Count, that was it.
Kind of fun.
I get those guys mixed up.
It's hard to say who the coolest is because
you have two of them right here.
Two of them right here. I can't spray.
Of course.
But we've just been very fortunate to have people like yourself and you, Rich, who have come back to our show several times. And
What was the hardest one to
The hardest get, I would say, is
your probably, dad, right?
My dad was a tough one, yeah. No, I'd say Paula Cole. We had to go back to her several times until she finally agreed to do the show. We did it in Westbrook, and now we're talking about having her back because she had such a great time, I believe, because she had such a great time doing the show.
Yeah, you do it, you want to do it again.
Yeah, because I think people have visions of, like, Wayne's World and, you know, maybe one camera and perhaps this is on public access. They don't read the whole email because it's a bit wordy. But then they come and do the show and they say, oh, yeah, this actually is something like a late night talk show. And then they might like to come back.
So, you know, through Dan's friendship, he's been kind enough to say, you know, when you go into these various cities, you're fighting, you know, a million other things going on at the same time. So you want people to know that we're at this theater and it's December 8th and it's 3:00 in the afternoon. And Dan said, hey, we can do radio, we can shoot promos, we can do all sorts of stuff. So I said, hey, I'm on the East Coast, let's come up and do it. So we're just having fun.
And doing a little skit for your show as well. Yeah. Can we say that? Is that all right?
Sure,
now? Sure. Yeah, that'll be running sometime, I don't know, I think in November.
Okay.
So look for that.
Right, there cool. we go. Yep. And you know, Mark, and we get this from Dan as well, you've done so many things through your career, but the name of the game is, and what's made you successful, and I think what makes Dan successful is you're yourself. Who you are on television is who you are in person. And I think in that medium especially, people can tell. People can see that sincerity. And when that comes through, that leads to a terrific career.
Well, I always think you're not special because you're on TV. You know, it's a cool job, and I always wanted to do it and had a passion for it. And I was lucky enough to pull it off. But, you know, I do most of what I've done my entire career for free because it's just so darn much fun. And I feel bad for people who get up every day and hate their job. I mean, I can't imagine doing that. So, you know, I feel honored that people have followed me for almost 40 years now, which is frightening. And I love the stories and I love the people who come to these theaters. We've been doing, I've done up to this point, 60 cities. We've played all the Fox theaters. We played the one in Atlanta, played the one in Detroit. And they're beautiful. 3,500 seats. I don't know how many people
about 5,000.
5,600, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you hope to fill it up or at least half of that. But, you know, it's December. It's near Christmas. It's a good family time. You know, you can celebrate the holiday season together a little early. So, you know, we hope people come out and join us and participate and have fun.
December 8th, Cross Insurance Center in Bangor, Double Dare Live. Mark, thank you so much for stopping by to visit with us.
Thank you very much. And Dan, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And Dan, thank you.
I'm just happy to exist.
That was so much fun. A couple of weeks ago in studio here, Mark Summers and Danny Cashman talking about Double Dare Live coming to the Cross Center on December 8th.